Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
2 weeks ago, we uploaded the wrong show, not the post-production show. And then last week, we upload the week before show for this week's show as opposed to that week's show. Jose, please... Please remove head from arse.
He's a busy guy.
Okay, I know you did the Black Guns Matter. I know it was your birthday month and shit. When I was a kid, it was your birthday. Then it turned into birthday week, and now everybody has a birthday month.
Hey, just be careful because this show hasn't been posted yet. So
okay.
I have no idea what's going to happen if you piss him off.
The other thing is... my buddy Andy from Cowabunga in the city, cowabunga.biz, dropped off more of this excellent cologne that last time I gave one to Napin and one to Sandy. He heard the radio show. He dropped off two more. And this is a leathery note with rich tobacco and supposed to smell like a bookstore to English. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it is.
Scott, you smelt it yesterday. It's got a nice smell to it. So I got two more biatches, so that's
nice,
that.
Very good.
Scott Bach is in the studio today discuss New Hampshire carry and New Jersey, and he went on a dating site and he got matched to Loretta Weinberg.
That's good, Scott. He and Loretta Weinberg were a match.
I'm trying to think of
Turkey neck. He's doing the turkey neck
website
thing.
Called Tinder.
Tinder.
Tinder. So he was on Tinder.
At least it wasn't Ashley Madison.
And he was looking for a match.
It was Turkey Madison.
Turkey Madison. And so that's an interesting thing. Also, this week's
Thanksgiving all year.
This week's Bear Arms podcast with John Willett, I was the guest on the show.
I'm very sorry for that.
For a half hour. We had a really
poor
good
audience.
Show.
Oh, my God.
And we discussed SafeCon, which, again, is July 30th. Sandy and I and Rob and Cy were supposed to go to the Blade Show this week, and we were going to be broadcasting live from the Blade Show, but some stuff beyond our control came up, and we were not able to attend. Hopefully next year we will be able to. So anybody wants to see us do our thing, July 30th for SafeCon, you're going to see us do our thing. I also want to give a huge, huge, monstrous shout-out to my staff. I have the best staff in the world. I am truly humbled. People say that you're only as good as your people. Well, I'm pretty freaking good because my people are the best. Because, man, can they rise up to the challenges that are faced amongst us recently? And I couldn't be prouder. And I'm choking up a little bit here talking about it. But I'm very humbled and proud of the team I've managed to assemble. And the group that I call my family here. So I just wanted to thank them all. If you're listening to this show, you guys are the best, and you make me look better every day. So let's move on from there.
Somebody got it.
Yeah, somebody has to. So a couple of things. While our legislators are deciding whether it's pork roll or Taylor ham, you know, real things are going on in this state, in the country. Like, we're broke, and we can't defend ourselves, et cetera, et cetera.
Such a great place.
So Scott just spent some time in Trenton, and him and Napin were part of a lawsuit in New Hampshire.
And Schmutter.
I'm sorry.
Schmutter. Don't forget Schmutter.
Let's talk about New Hampshire first. You've been on before, and Napin has been on to discuss this as well as Dan Schmutter, but tell us what happened.
Okay, look, we had a huge victory from the state Supreme Court. They unanimously overturned a regulation that made it impossible for residents of New Jersey and similar bad states to qualify for the non-resident carry permits. This has been an issue, actually, that's been going on for like 10 years. Napin and I first...
Has it been that long?
Well, not for the lawsuit, but there used to be an old rule that Napin and I got fixed there like 11 years ago.
Right.
And that rule stood in place until the New Hampshire Department of Safety changed it unilaterally a few years ago, triggering this latest bout. And so, you know, ANJRPC and I sued the state of New Hampshire. Look, here's basically what they did. They passed a regulation saying you could only get a New Hampshire non-resident carry license by submitting your own home state carry license.
Like Pennsylvania does.
Yeah. So if you can't qualify in your home state, you're out of luck.
You're SOL.
Yeah, exactly. And so we basically went to them and tried to resolve this informally. And we said, look, this makes no sense. You're discriminating against people because of where they happen to live. There are lots of other ways you can determine that somebody is acceptable, meet your it's called suitability. You know, New Jersey has justifiable need. New Hampshire has suitability. There's lots of ways. And in fact, the way they've done it for the last 10 or 12 years was if you had a carry license from any state. So a New Jersey resident.
Which is how we applied.
Yes.
We got our carry licenses because we have carry licenses in other states and showed that proof. So we got the New Hampshire carry permit.
Right. But what this is really indicative of, it, this didn't happen by accident in the live free or die state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I mean, if you look at what's going on in the country, anytime a liberal anti-gun administration gets into office, they're trying to chip away at right to carry in whatever way they can.
Mm-hmm.
And the low-hanging fruit is non-resident carry because it's a limited audience.
Right.
They're not going after, you know, there's constitutional concerns when it comes to residents. With non-residents, it's not quite so clear. And so we've seen the changes in Pennsylvania that have made it impossible for us to carry, for New Jerseyans to carry in PA, even with most non-resident permits.
With and a capricious decision of just one person, the Attorney General.
Well, that's what the way this is happening is the executive branch gets in and they're manipulating their power of reciprocity agreements basically to make things more difficult. And so in New Hampshire, they slipped in this thing as part, to me, it's part of a, you know, a picture that's being filled in different states. It's a pattern that's emerging. And in New Hampshire, the executive branch basically changed the rule silently, quickly, you know, in the dark of night. You know, day one, they would take a carry permit from anyone. Day two, sorry, you got to have a home state permit. And so, you know, this is absurd on a number of levels. It really just discriminates against you based on where you happen to live, which is not a basis to exclude the right of self-defense. So...
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about how it plays out.
Yeah.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against the state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Liberty Office Suites has two locations, one on New Road in Parsippany and the other one in Montville. 70-person meeting room, executive suites, private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, and the ability to hold seminars and events. Ron Sousa has graciously donated his Montville location for the July 29th, is it CLE credits? Or
CLE, CLE Continuing CLE Legal credits, Education.
That Knappen and a few other attorneys will be running through. And then, of course, July 30th will be NJ SafeCon. So support those who support us. Give Ron a shout-out at Liberty Office Suites, or for as little as $58 a month, you can get out of the coffee shop or your mom's kitchen or basement and have an actual professional environment to conduct your business. Who knows? You might even start making real money. Okay? Wow. So LibertyOfficeSuites.com. So, Scott, hit it back with Sandy. What was going on? Because I have this woman here doing my nails right now, so I'm a little preoccupied. Very nice.
Well, you know, I mean, that the toe thing is bothering us just a little.
Clip. Why is got she me in
using,
the eye.
Why is she using aviation snips? Go ahead.
So ahead, Scott.
All right. So
pay
listen.
No attention to the five-year-old in the room.
There you go.
Six.
So we started a lawsuit a few years ago. Evan Knappen donated his time to start this lawsuit. We thought we would be able to handle it administratively. That did not work out, and we had to take the lawsuit to the max. And Dan Schmutter wound up handling the appeal on this. He did an oral argument here in February, and pretty much the state Supreme Court unanimously, who gets unanimous legal decisions right. from a top court these right. days? I mean, this is out of the park. They basically adopted pretty much the language from one of the sections of our brief, basically saying that the problem with what New Hampshire was doing is they're by saying you have to have a home state permit, they're ignoring their own state's standard of how to issue a permit and importing the requirement of every other state. So in other words, if you could qualify in New Hampshire but not under your own state, you're importing a different standard than the state standard in New Hampshire. So
wow.
basically,
perfect
I mean,
argument. What a great argument.
Yeah, yeah. That was actually Schmutter's.
Was
a brainstorm of Schmutter. And our legal briefs, which are posted online, are well worth looking at. We had multi-layered argument. The state Supreme Court didn't get past that one. That one was enough for them. They didn't have to go into equal protection or any of the other constitutionally based claims. But the bottom line is this. And I will tell you, along the way, we've had some settlement meetings with them. There is, we call it the live free or die state, like I said before, but it was interesting to see what's happening there. That place is being invaded.
Oh, yeah.
And
you've got, as Knappen calls them, all the mass holes who are coming over. A lot of New Jersey people are migrating there.
It felt, sitting in a room with those folks, honestly, it was almost worse than dealing with New Jersey regulators for a time there. I mean, they were so hostile and seething that we would dare to come in and upset their thing.
Yeah.
And so now we're in a situation where, so let me just be practical for a second. So this particular regulation has been stricken by the state Supreme Court. It no longer applies.
Now, can it come back again or no?
The way
this law is written, okay.
No, not that requirement. Okay. That doesn't mean that those who are opposed to gun rights aren't going to try to play games like they did in Illinois when they passed right to carry and then they came right up to the line. We're trying to preclude that right now. So what I would suggest for those who are like me, who are raring to apply and get their permits again in New Hampshire, is just wait a little bit. We're, Schmutter and I are working on trying to, now that we have this win, to leverage it to get an appropriate new rule promulgated, that will stick for a long time. Okay. Right. I mean, anybody who wants to take their chance certainly can. They can try to meet the standard, but really we're trying to get something uniform that everyone agrees on, including the New Hampshire State Police, and we'll be promulgating
so
that.
So we should wait.
Well, just wait a little bit. It's not going to be that long. We'll have an idea of whether we're going to be playing ball with them or not. If not, we'll also have a kind of belt and suspenders plan about how to submit an application and bulletproof it, no pun intended.
Now, my permit doesn't expire until the 17th, right? Is it still valid?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the thing is, it's ironically, Dan Schmutter and I both, our permits expired just as the new rule went into effect. Okay, and so both of us, I mean, this is what first brought the issue to my attention. Is I got my renewal for my permit in June, for an August renewal, and I could no longer qualify because I don't have a home state permit. And so if you had a permit and it's been valid during this time, it didn't expire during the time, it's still valid. It's still being honored. And so you're one of those lucky few.
Yeah,
you're one of the fortunate few. But what this does, this actually helps more than just New Jerseyans. Obviously, you know, a million New Jerseyans who are into gun rights can now do this. But it helps people in other states, in really bad states where right to carry is just disparaged and it's difficult or impossible to qualify for a home state permit. Mm-hmm. This theoretically helps millions of people. By the way, it made the front page above the fold lead story in the New Hampshire Union Leader.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big deal in New Hampshire. It's a big deal for New Jersey. Now, I also want to set the backdrop here, okay? And that is ANJRPC is committed to restoring right to carry in New Jersey, okay? You know, and that
is
that.
You're going to start getting crap. Why are you fighting in New Hampshire?
This is our primary. Okay. Our primary focus is on getting this addressed in Jersey. But it also we're also opportunistic, and we're also going to defend right to carry outside of New Jersey where it's appropriate.
For New Jersey, it's.
And this was a classic case where we knew it was going to be a slam dunk. Now people are saying, well, let's do the same thing in Pennsylvania because of the changes in PA. PA is a little different. It's not as much of a slam dunk. We've been looking at that, mm-hmm. but it's not as clear cut as it was in New Hampshire.
Can I ask you, how is Kane still Attorney General?
Good question. Okay. It's
Does
not
she even
just
have a law license?
I don't know, but it's not just New Hampshire that's changing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there is a fanning out.
Right.
You know, or
you've got 8 years of Barack Obama.
You also have people leaving. I mean, this is my theory. You have large numbers of people doing an exodus from big cities, fanning out into the countryside and bringing their ideology with them and infecting, changing. You know, it's not like moving into a place that you love because of the way it is and keeping it that way. They're moving in and changing things. So
they want to change it back to the way they came from. Look at what's going on in Texas. It's the same issue right now.
Yep.
Texas is actually going purple.
It's the same issue from sea to shining sea. And by the way, I don't think it's an accident. I mean, I think it's intentional, especially when you see some of the – I know we're way off topic here. But
when you see
some of the community planning and the forced housing developments that are forced on communities, there's a reason for that. And, you know, my personal opinion is, you know, we're looking at a 20 to 45-year plan.
Yes.
To gradually and incrementally, hardly even noticeably, change the entire culture one little bit
at
a time.
Hence the term progressive.
I'll be dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's something that we suck at because we look at what we want to do right away.
Right.
These were people who set out a 100-year plan during Woodrow Wilson.
Right.
And this is what's coming to fruition now.
It's unbelievable.
My doctor told me to take a pill 3 times a day on an empty stomach. I went, I haven't had an empty stomach since 1961.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have 3 times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have 2 smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with 1 or 2 kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric has been a supporter of this program and our Second Amendment rights in New Jersey since we started this show. And I would like those that are listening to support those who support us. If you or anyone you know is within a 30-mile radius of Waldorf Family Chiropractic, please check him out or refer people. He also published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. Let's just review real quick. SafeCon, July 30th at the Parsippany Hilton. Please do not forget to register. If you have a product or a service, if you're a butcher, baker, plumber, I don't care, and you're Pro 2A, you might want to get a booth there. If you're a gun store, gun range, or any type of sporting institution in the state, and you're not there, you're dumb.
Idiot. Yeah,
you're really dumb, yeah. Okay? Because we're all going to be there. Cam Edwards is going to be on our MonsterCast radio show, by the way. We're going to do a two-hour special, Bear Arm Show, Gun for Hire Radio. Cam Edwards is going to come on. We're going to have some other guests on. This Thursday will be Tony Simon's diversity shoot. So you want to check that out. Knappen will be here again. I just want to get this out in case I forget. Knappen will be here October 14th. It will be the last time that he will be here this year. So you want to get in on that class. So, Scott, what else happened? You spent a day in Trenton yesterday, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. It was another fun day in Trenton last week.
So tell us.
Look, it was it started out as a triple threat, it's political silly season with everything that's going
yeah,
on. But
exactly.
but there were basically two issues that were supposed to come up across three different bills. So one of them was smart guns, okay, coming back again, even though the governor vetoed it last year.
Very nice.
But interestingly enough, it started out as a triple threat. It turned into a double threat. We actually found out that they were holding smart guns, allegedly, because apparently Loretta wants to make the bill worse. Okay.
Okay. It's not bad enough.
We don't know why it was held, but my speculation is they think now that President Obama is making a push on smart guns, they're probably going to try to make it a presidential election issue. And depending on what happens with Christie, and Trump, and where he may fit in the future, they're probably going to want to bring it up and force the governor to act on it when it's a little closer to election day. That's just my guess of why they pulled it. The other thing is the attack on right to carry in New Jersey continues, and that's the other thing that happened this past week in Trenton. We've talked about before that these state police regulations pursuant to the Christie Commission recommendations that crack the door open a teeny tiny bit on right to carry on justifiable need. Well,
killed them.
Well, we've talked about that.
Made them crazy.
The sky is falling.
Yes,
people with serious threats against them might be able to carry.
Cab drivers, pizza delivery people. My God,
right.
We can't have that.
Perhaps U.S. Army lieutenant colonels who work at Picatinny Arsenal.
Why would we possibly allow these kinds of people to carry guns?
Right. And so now, remember, we talked about that there's this provision in the Constitution that allows the legislature to essentially intrude on the executive branch and nullify regulations under the guise that it's against legislative intent. The only problem is it's not, okay? And in New Jersey, basically the legislature's definition of justifiable need is none. There's no definition. You need justifiable need to carry. It's not specified. And so you know, so their invocation of this.
So let me get this straight. The justifiable need intent is the legislative intent there.
Is whatever
defined.
Justifiable need means. And there's a case.
At that moment.
Correct.
Yes.
There's the case law that interprets that. The Sicardi case, which Dan Schmutter has talked to your listeners about.
Which was a nightmare of a case.
Well, the case basically said that you need urgent necessity, and then it gave examples of urgent necessity. Okay? Examples, not an exclusive
right.
list. And the two examples they gave are if you have verifiable threats against you specifically or if there's evidence of prior attacks. Okay. Non-exclusive list, that leaves open potential universe of other possible urgent necessities. However, when the state police codified, in response to Sicardi, the state police wrote its regulations, they wrote those two things as the exclusive things. That was a mistake. Okay?
It was a mistake.
And so the state police are free to reinterpret that. Okay, and the reason why this procedure they're trying to invoke in the Constitution doesn't work is because it only works if a clear legislative intent is violated. The legislature never expressed intent, and what the state police are doing is they're reinterpreting case law, not statute. I know that's hyper-technical, but now they know that there is this flaw in the law because in addition to this resolution, they have now tried to reverse engineer justifiable need
back
into the statute.
Yes.
They now have a bill that was the third of the triple threats that came up this past week, a bill which would take the state police codified mistaken definition of justifiable need and put it into statute cement it into statute for all eternity. Okay.
Not a big threat at all.
Which by the way is also an admission on the fact that there is no legislative intent. If legislative intent had been clear, there would be no need for that legislation. No. Now, predictably, I'm sure you guys can guess how the vote went.
Yeah.
Okay,
party line.
On both bills. Straight party line vote. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting, I mean, we are fighting. These guys like the way it is. They
yes.
like us being
yes.
victims. I testified yes. this past week in Trenton, and I basically explained how the police have no duty to protect you. You're on your own.
I know they don't care. I know they don't care. But are they even aware of the case law that exists from other jurisdictions?
You better believe they're aware of it. Okay. Listen, I testified that New Jersey is the outlier. There's 43 other states that robustly recognize the right to carry. New Jersey's the outlier. That essentially this legislation leaves people defenseless.
Right.
On the one hand, you abdicate your responsibility to defend them, and on the other, you tie their hands behind their back so they can't protect themselves where you've failed to protect them. And you basically leave them with no options.
And because we can't sue them for that, which was adjudicated in Warren v. D.C.
Among many others,
Among many others. We can't sue them. We can't hold them responsible. But they can force us to not be able to protect ourselves.
Listen, at the end of an impassioned speech, you know, the comments the anti-gun legislators made as they voted for this, you know, for these horrible bills was, there's just no way that more guns are not going to make people safer.
The state police should probably give up their weapons.
Right. Exactly. So, listen, this is going to be a long-term fight. This is the first shot. And for those of you who think that what we got from the state police and from the governor's commission were not enough, I mean, just imagine, okay? Imagine if... The point is, these people like it the way it is.
Look
yeah.
how
they
it scared
want it.
The shit out
right.
of them.
Right. You wouldn't be having this kind of backlash if it was nothing.
Well, they had a scare a few years ago when the Supreme Court almost took the Drake case.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes.
And let me
yes.
tell you, that day will come
right.
again.
Right.
Okay? The time for that day is not now when we have a 4-4 split in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
But that day will come again, and there will come a day when we crack through this. I mean, like I've said before— You know, even if the state police regulations went through, they represent a tiny improvement in an unconstitutional system. That system must be taken down, and it will be taken down eventually. In the meanwhile, we're opportunistic, and we'll make inroads where we can. But that system cannot and will not and must not survive it can't survive in a free society. And if it does, that just tells you we're not really a free society. So,
well, I have my doubts.
Well, look, I do too, but we're here. We're going to fight the good fight, and we're going to give it everything we have, no matter what. I will tell you, you know, unfortunately, you know, NRA and ANJ RPC were once again the only ones there who testified, you know.
Scott, we've proven so many times when there were 5,000 people on the front lawn and they locked us out of the state house in the sideways December rain. They didn't give a shit. They don't care. They don't care if 10,000 people show up. It's just because it's not guns that they hate. It's us that they hate.
I don't disagree. I mean, you know, these folks would, well, we know they want to confiscate. We know they'd like us to go away.
They have said it.
Yes.
In those words.
Yes. And so, and look, I have a theory about why fewer people are showing up. I think people think that Governor Christie has our backs, so there's not a real threat at this moment.
Hey, could it be also that we're just tired? We're just beaten down? It becomes this general malaise that takes over when you feel like you're butting your head against a wall that never moves. I sense it. It's a palpable sense that I have of people throughout the entire country right now.
Well, there's definitely fatigue. I mean, this fight's been going on a long time. But listen, what happened in 2013... Listen, there was fatigue before 2013, and in 2013, people rose up in a big way. Okay, now we have, you know, a different situation. You know, the governor's actions have proven. I think people are kicking back right now because they think that whatever the legislature passes, it's you know, the really bad stuff is not going to make it through. And so, let the activists handle it.
Right.
Let NRA and ANJ.
Let me send my $5 in.
And then complain when they don't get everything.
But
that
look,
this is
a cyclical thing. It happens nationally. It happens locally. And the cycle will turn the other way over time.
It always does. But we can't rest on that.
No.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you
it's
by...
It's not being brought to you
Philly
by...
Firearms Training, phillyguntraining.com, Jose Morales. Jose, I hope your birthday month is over now and
really
you can
good,
focus
really
a
good firearms
bit.
Trainer.
Jose is centrally located in Philadelphia right next to
shitty
the police
volunteer.
Station. No, I pay him. By the police station, and you got to check him out. He has a beautiful place. We've had students that have used his services that come up here and have nothing but good things to say about him. So he is a great guy. PhillyGunTraining.com.
Really
he got to get his head back in the game here. Listen, Rondu Vincent sent me this email. Ant, as I listen to your show each week, I hear common themes that stick out. The need for diversity in a two-way world and getting involved with the NRA. This past weekend, you had Sherry and Tony Simon on. I heard about the June 9th diversity shoot, which I plan to attend with my wife, and I heard the call to action. Thank you, Rondu. I'll be there as well. I also understand you just returned from the NRA annual meetings. There is a great opportunity to marry the best of both worlds and now that we have a year to plan, we can kick the doors of the NRA meeting next year. Like, what bitches? It ain't going to happen, but that's good. Good. We'll talk about this Thursday. And he talks about, you know, breaking the stereotypes and the diversity. The NRA can't be broken like that. you know, a little at a time, we need to get more minority representation in the NRA. And I'll talk to you more of that on hand. I've been saying for the longest time that the NRA is saturated with the old white guys. That's why we have 4.5 to 5 million members. If the NRA wants 12 million members, we need to really go after the females and people of every different color. And that's why Sherry and Tony Simon are so important, as well as my facility. Feathering into that, here's a letter from our frequent guest now, Rhiannon Tang from last week. She wrote, "Thank you for reading my letter on air. I have to admit I teared up listening to my own letter again. I know my Charlie would have been super proud of me and the effort I've put in to help spread some Second Amendment love. I think you mentioned either in this episode or a previous one that you enjoy trap shooting. Given my newfound adoration of my inherited 12-gauge, could you point me in the right direction to try it out for the first time? Thank you so much." Yes, Rhiannon, I already put her in contact with Jimmy. Jimmy at Gun for Hire, and he'll go over everything, the do's and don'ts to get into trap shooting. She was here yesterday, and she's also going to be building an AR with Jimmy, Build-A-Bear, so we'll hook you up. And then she said, "P.S., thank you for saying I'm in my 20s, but I am really beep, Rhiannon Tang." I always defer on the young side when it comes to stuff like that, Rhiannon, but thank you so much for being a part of the family. Your presence is welcome every time I see you here. It's good because we have couple of people, a lot of people like you that are this supportive. If you guys remember, a few months ago we had Matthew Warnke on the show from Paramus, and Matthew wrote a letter. He's here all the time now, introducing new shooters to the range, and he wrote, "I am having the time of my life meeting like-minded people and enjoying your facility. You have an incredible group of people supporting your business. I have recently been treated like family by Jimmy, John, Kevin, Louie, Ronnie, Marvin, and the ladies at the front desk. The other day, Marvin helped me track down a failure to feed issue on my new rifle, explaining how mags can be tight when brand new. I have a treasure trove of left-leaning individuals working for me that all perk up when they hear stories about my Gun for Hire membership." Yeah, it's true. "I am going to begin taking them over to your facility one by one," he has, by the way, "and making them Gun for Hire members. Deputy Chief Rob Guidetti asked me if I could visit your range as my guest. He wants to see what everyone is talking about. I heard you shout me out over the radio this past weekend. So cool. Each one, reach one. Them all, one at a damn time." Matthew, thank you so much. And also, he said, "U.S. Law Shield sounds cool. You know, Napin's pushing this insurance, uslawshield.com. I just found out there's also, you know, the guy said it was like $12 a month, but there's a $20 one-time initiation fee that I just found out about. So I want to tell our students about that. We're not paid advertisers for them or anything. We're just trying to help people out here. So it's not like, the guy's paying us, but there is a $20 one-time initiation fee I didn't know about. Getting back to Matthew, each one, reach one. Remember, we have the Gun for Hire poker chips here. And every time a member of Woodland Park Range brings a new shooter, you tell the girls up front and you will get a poker chip. And when we have the grand reopening of the expansion, those poker chips will be worth something. So please don't screw up. I have a really, really heartfelt letter here. And it's from Christopher Kent, who's a warrior. And Chris Kent, Sandy, you know him. He's a lawyer and a chiropractor. He was also a chiropractor for the United Nations. He had an awakening a few years ago.
He should have unbent that gun.
Yeah. He had an awakening a few years ago, and this is the letter he wrote. "Guys, years ago, I walked from a parking lot next to the railroad tracks in Belleville up the stairs to a place called Gun for Hire. I was there to attend the first test pistol class. Rob made the experience informative and fun. There was a brief cameo appearance by a guy named Anthony. I didn't know it at the time, but as always, Gun for Hire had over-delivered. Although first steps required only one way, we got to experience shooting all three action types and at least five different handguns. Everyone left the range smiling. Some of us returned for first steps rifle and shotgun. That was the beginning of a new chapter in my life. I started taking just about every course I could fit into my schedule, including next steps, test drives, sim munitions, FATS, urban classes, and the instructor series. Along the way, I qualified as an NRA instructor in pistol, rifle, shotgun, and personal protection in home. Gun for Hire made it possible for me to become a chief range safety officer. A peak experience was receiving a coveted Gun for Hire alumni lanyard, a complete surprise." You also get a Gun for Hire challenge coin next time you come, by the way. What makes the Gun for Hire experience extraordinary for me is that I have disabilities resulting from a stroke 30 years ago. I received nothing but encouragement from the Gun for Hire instructors who patiently worked with me to craft the adaptive strategies needed for me to succeed in their courses. All went the extra mile. Jimmy even watched me shoot, suggested mods to my rifle to improve my shooting, and installed them. It wasn't just shooting. Other courses completed included defensive pen, cane, napping on law, first aid, prepping, hemorrhage control, and perhaps some others that aren't coming to mind. There were the meals at the cafe, pig roast celebrations, and a feeling of family that always permeated the Gun for Hire experience. My libertarian values made me a 2A supporter long before I became personally involved with the shooting sports. Liberty with responsibility, a celebration of diversity, and a commitment to excellence have long been core values. Gun for Hire was filled with kindred spirits living these values. It was wonderful to share Ann's joy as his vision grew and he turned his dream into reality. That dream continues to grow, enriching the lives of all who choose to share the experience. To protect our 2A liberties, I became a benefactor member of the NRA and a life member of NJ2AS and joined ANJRPC. It would not be an understatement that Gun for Hire had a profound impact on my life. I will be leaving New Jersey at the end of June to move to a freer state of South Carolina. It is to accept a professional position that has much to do with realizing my dreams. You will all be deeply missed. Fortunately, I will be able to stay connected with Gun for Hire Radio. Always family, Christopher Kent. Holy shit.
Hey, Chris, make room for us down in South Carolina, will you?
Yes. Chris had a stroke, and he had some paralysis issues, and I've been introducing him to people for years as a true warrior with true warrior spirit, because this guy didn't let shit get in his way.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
where absolutely. Other people would say, oh, I can't. Hell no.
Right.
He took everything.
Yep.
And you know, what you don't realize, Chris, is we learned from you too, because you're not the first person to walk through the door with some kind of disability. And, you know, we have to be able to adapt and adjust to that. So you were just a part as a test case to us as we were to you, so to speak. But I started this experiment, as Walter Haas would say, a long time ago. And, you know, after reading a letter like that, I guess we got the right recipe.
You're on track, I think.
Yeah. And it hasn't been easy. But if it wasn't for people like him, how would we ever come this far? And I'm humbled by your letter. I know you've taken every class. You don't know how much we talk about you. You know, we'll go out to dinner with the guys and stuff, and the newer guys that aren't aware of you that much, and we'll talk about how Chris Kent kicked ass with this or he did that, or we'll be saying something like, Jimmy will be like, we got this guy coming into cane class. Did you see him? He walks with a walker. And I'd be like, well, you saw Chris Kent take the cane class, right? If he could do it, then this guy in a walker could do it. You know,
yeah,
so
right.
We've used you as the baseline for many things as well. So you've helped us along the way, and I wanted to thank you and tell you we love you. And you qualify for a Gun for Hire challenge coin. So make sure you email Anthony at Gun for Hire or talk back at Gun for Hire Radio, so we can set up a time. I want the guys all to be here so we could wish you off a warm farewell and discuss visitation arrangements.
Right,
at your
South Carolina recon
address.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can always have a secondary location there.
That's
or
right.
something. Or we could just stop by on my way down driving to Florida, because I'd like to find something like in the Naples area in Florida for my retirement, because I am getting long in the tooth here. I'll be 56 soon.
Getting long in the tooth.
I am. I'm not getting. Listen, this shit's stressful, bro.
Yes, we got more runway behind us than we do in front of us.
Seriously, this shit's stressful. And I love what I do, and I wouldn't trade the last 24 years for anything other than what I do.
But doing it in New Jersey is a challenge.
It's been tough, you know, but the people, you know, just my clientele, my members, my staff, and the people I've come in contact with, the people in the 2A community, I can count the douche nozzles on one hand.
Right. That's very true.
You know,
very true.
I mean, you can't beat that with a stick.
No, you really can't.
You see the people walking out of this place with the targets and the body language, and every day we're just turning hearts and minds. I had a father and son today from the UK. They found us on TripAdvisor, and I gave them two free T-shirts, and as soon as I handed them, they put them on, you know, and they shot and they took pictures, and the kid was only about 11 years old, and he had his backpack, and then they called an Uber to go back. Uber has actually helped my business, you know, because cabs are a pain in the ass.
In Jersey,
it's a pain in the ass to hail a cab. And you know, I ask people all the time now, how'd you get here? Uber. You know, so, you know, Jimmy and I were in Louisville, Kentucky, and this is not a paid advertisement, but we took a skeevy, disgusting, stinky green cab from Louisville to a barbecue restaurant. It was $22. Jimmy downloaded the Uber app at the restaurant, and we took an Uber back, a clean, spotless Camry, for $8.
Oh, wow. What a difference. Totally changing the way things happen.
Get Uber.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
This segment is brought to you by me and my staff and my awesome customers and members of Woodland Park Range. Again, a huge thank you to everyone for their support the past 2 weeks. I love you all. Gary Roth. Anthony, thanks for the informative show about Shield Insurance. As you know, this type of coverage is something that I've been thinking about for a long time. Shield seems to fill the gaps in coverage provided by normal homeowners policies. Gary, do your due diligence on it too, because Knappen did, but I would love to have a second opinion. Gary's also a lawyer. We let him shoot here. Sometimes we let lawyers shoot here.
Every now and again.
Not always, but sometimes we do, and Gary's a good guy, so we let him shoot here. So, Gary wrote, another subject that I'm interested in is might be of interest to listeners, a discussion about choosing a large gun safe, the kind that holds many guns and weighs a ton and has various types of lengths of bolts, access methods, and door construction, and may be fireproof for certain lengths of time and temperatures. Prices and features are all over the map. How do I choose what to look for and what to avoid? Gary, this is a tough question. Most of the safes, believe it or not, are made pretty much by the same six companies.
Really?
And they're just rebranded, you know, Champion, Liberty, Remington, Smith & Wesson. They're like private labeled, you know.
Oh.
It's like a bakery bakes hamburger buns for Foodtown,
right,
ShopRite,
yeah,
A&P,
yeah,
and the whole bit. So you really have to do your due diligence with a brand and construction, to be quite honest with you. And the internet is great for that. And you can get, it's amazing, you can get a safe the size of a refrigerator for $1,500, and you can get a safe the size of a refrigerator for $35,000.
Wow.
Depending on the fire rating, the level of security, the armor plating, and everything. So you really got to find something that fits your budget. But I'm going to tell you right now, wherever you put the safe, it has to be secured. It has to be secured to the floor, the wall, or whatever, because if someone comes into your house to install cable TV or do any kind of work and they see the safe, what they usually do is they rip them out. When a safe gets robbed out of a house, it gets ripped out. They put chains around it, and they pull it out with a pickup truck right through a wall and everything.
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah, it's happened. Scott Bach was just telling a story about a house in Pennsylvania that they somebody did work, construction worker there, and the gentleman had a safe in his living room, a decorative safe, 1,700-pound decorative safe. And when they weren't home, people broke into the house and they put a tow truck cable around the safe attached to the tow ball of the pickup truck, and they pulled it right out of the house through the door.
Ripping
the door and everything out, the door frame, and then a couple of guys must have picked it up or whatever. They put it in the back of the pickup truck and they drove away with it. You know,
wow.
So it looked like their house exploded. All right?
You imagine coming home to that?
I wouldn't even, Gary, it wouldn't even be beneath me to go to New Jersey Concealment Furniture, Dan Ingram, and have him hide your safe,
right,
if possible. You know, if you live in a house, a condo, or whatever, build a safe in, and then have Dan come in and make it look like a mirror, or look like a, you know, a cabinet or a bookcase or something. Wouldn't be a bad idea, because the element of surprise or hide and seek is better, because you know you're going to have people in your house. You're going to have a rug guy come in,
right? Sure.
And this is what happens, Gary. You're going to go out and buy a beautiful Fort Knox safe that you're going to pay $10,000 for, and the thing is beautiful. And now I'm in the house installing hardwood floor, right? And I look at that safe. There's only one reason why a guy's got a $20,000 safe in his house.
To keep expensive shit.
He's got $1 million worth of shit in that $20,000 safe. So now I start telling my friends, and necessity is the mother of invention, and where there's a will, there's a way, and I can keep going on with all these euphemisms and shit that we grew up with, but they'll rip that shit right out, or they'll come prepared to breach that safe. And almost every safe can, in fact, be breached. If your house is in a remote area, they have more time to work on
it. Sure, yeah.
There's more tools and power tools that they can use. You know, they caught in Massachusetts a few years ago, they caught safes were being breached. And when the police department came, they had a volunteer fireman. He was a policeman and volunteer fireman at night. He recognized the marks on the safe door, and he said, whoever's doing this has access to fireman's equipment, like jaws of life.
Yeah, so he knew.
They were using the jaws, and they ended up catching it. It was three guys, and they were all volunteer firemen.
Oh, my God.
And they were taking the equipment, like the jaws of life, and popping open safes. Okay?
Doing a B&E and then taking his stuff with him.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, you know how to do it now.
Yeah,
you know, the safe
could
have, you know, the safe could have bolts and bars that go all four directions when you lock it.
Right.
But if somebody can get into that seam and spread the safe open, well it's gonna open, you know?
Right.
And these things are designed to cut open tractor trailers and stuff when people are,
pinned
under
them. They're not minor things.
And you and I, we don't have that. I wouldn't even imagine. I would imagine some of that stuff's probably for rent at a rental center.
Probably, yeah.
You know, but
or the jacks that jack up houses.
Correct. So, Gary, it really goes on budget. I mean, fire ratings, easy. They're all UL listed, and it says how long the stuff will be in it. Now, in my old house, I had a Remington safe that was fire rated for 20 minutes of the full house burn. But then what I also had was they call a cold box. In the bottom of my safe, I had another fire safe. And in there, I had all documentation and paperwork. So what that meant was if my house was on fire for 40 minutes, even if all the contents in my safe burned and melted, that box on the bottom, those contents would have still been okay.
Now, you didn't keep your documents for your firearms in the safe with the firearms.
No. I had a safe deposit box where I kept all of that stuff. After napping, scaring the shit out of me, like if you ever have a restraining order or something and a judge says you have to surrender all your firearms, if you're missing a .44-73 that you sold a gun,
right?
If you don't materialize that gun, they won't release you from prison.
Get out of town.
Oh, yeah. He had a guy that spent 9 months in prison because he couldn't remember who he sold a gun to.
Oh, my God.
Because it was still listed under his name.
Well, that'll never happen to us because we never sell guns.
Well, I sold two or three guns back in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, okay.
You know, because I had duplicates.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I told you one time I bought a Ruger Single Six. I went to the bullet hole.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, my God, beautiful gun. I brought it home. I go my safe. I'm like, I have one. And that's one I used back in the day. Does this ring a bell? Lotus 123.
Yeah,
and
right.
I listed all my guns in Lotus 123, which was kind of like Excel of its day, I guess. And I listed them and printed it out. And then after that, before I bought a firearm, I'd make sure I didn't have it already.
Yeah.
Because so. I might have owned 130 guns or something. I might have owned a couple of guns. And
I had
some duplicates.
Yeah.
But so after that, I kept that paperwork separate. But so, Gary, again, you got to look at budget. I've seen like at the SHOT Show last year, Liberty Safe has a safe the size of a refrigerator, $1,700, so special. And then go right around the corner, and Fort Knox has a very similar looking safe for $9,000. And obviously the capabilities of its strength, the thickness, and you'll look at the weight too. Like the cheaper safe is 1,200 pounds, the more expensive safe is 2,800 pounds, and it's not all concrete. You know, it's definitely steel, and the way it's built, and fire rating and finish, they make beautiful ones. But if I was going to buy a safe, I would buy it and I would conceal it. I would conceal it with built-ins or something, because when you do have non-family members or family members come to the house, I don't think they should see it.
You could have your sister's
uncle come over with his kid who's a methamphetamine junkie.
Right. Or he mentions it to somebody else. Oh,
exactly.
You should see this great safe that someone's always
and
got.
And that's how your house is going to get whacked. Right. And they're going to know exactly where to go. And all you've got to do is say, Uncle Gary, I got to go take a leak and take a couple pictures of it with his cell phone.
Well, my brother-in-law who lives down in Plano just really had that done. He had, I guess it was like a closet or that they had, and they made a safe room out of it, and his gun safe is in there.
That's what I would call. If I moved into a new place, I would call Dan Ingram. I'd bring Dan Ingram in, which I'm going to do eventually, and say, Dan, where can we do something? And what size of a pocket can you give me? And then I would find safes. I mean, you could use his stuff without a safe, but I would want a safe for fire rating.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
And I would have Dan make me like the right, let's imagine a bookcase with a desk in the middle. The right side would have a secret compartment for daily accessible stuff, like a couple watches and everyday jewelry. And then the left side, I would want an actual safe buried in the wall on the left side.
Yeah.
But have the whole thing look like a bookcase or something, or a mirror and a desk, whatever Dan could come up with. So again, Gary, I wouldn't want anybody to know. And it's not something you brag about, that you show anybody about.
No.
And as a matter of fact, after Dan and his guys install everything, you whack them. You feed them a nice dinner, and then you whack them. Listen, that's what the...
Dude, the old neighborhood's coming out.
Well,
you can't.
They did it with the pyramids, the pharaohs. They brought the architects and the builders in. They gave them a nice meal, and then they executed them. And Al Capone, they used to do the same thing. The tunnels in Chicago from the club to the hotel. Great job, Louis Vito. You contractors did a good work. Enjoy your pasta. Boom, 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 boom. Done. Now we don't have to worry about it. So, Gary, you know.
So when you're doing work like that, it's like, when is this job going to be done? Another couple days.
So, Dan, if you're listening to that, I'm sorry. Now, Richie Olenek, that works for me, Richie used Dan Ingram, and he just had nothing but good things to
His
say.
His stuff is magnificent.
And again, I'm not a paid advertiser or sponsor.
We should be.
Just,
Dan, $100.
I'm just the one. Let me tell you something. I'm just the guy that I know when I move out of the hotel I live in, which will be soon, I'm going to have Dan come up and I'm going to have to figure out the safe I want. But Gary, it's a tough decision to make. There's a lot of cheap knockoffs there. There are a few safe companies that the stuff is made in America. I would probably trust that more than something that's made in Cambodia.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Right.
Guys, remember July 30th is SafeCon. What else is going on here? Poker Chip Edition, Each One Reach One. Don't forget about that. Knappen's book is in stock. He will be here October 14th. June 9th is the Diversity Shoot. Tony and guys will be here. We're giving away a self-defense pen. Okay,
nice.
At that night. And Sherry's giving away at a SAW event. Speaking of that, a Tenzia pen will be June 11th. Urban Pistol 2 will be June 11th at Cedar Grove. Urban Carbine and Urban Pistol 3 will be June 26th and July 17th, respectively, at Cedar Grove. Again, I thank you all. I love you all. My people are the best. My customers, my family, love you all. Thank you.
And just a little plug.
Am I Winston?
Shameless plug for you.
And there's Masada Ayoub and Gail watching me through the window.
That's right. I want to say thank you for donating a trap gun to the New Jersey State Shoot.
Oh, I did that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I donated a trap gun to the New Jersey State Shoot. So
very, very
I'll
nice.
I'll give you more details on that next week's show. Sandy will remind me.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. All rights reserved. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barron. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, our engineer, Winston the Dog, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Each One, Reach One. Keep us in your prayers, guys. We've got you in ours. Talk to you soon. See you next week. Winston, it's time to get off the board and say goodbye to the folks. We'll be back again next week. Hope you're with us.